Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever wondered why it's happening again?
Welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife, Jeannie. Michael and Jeannie share with you the wisdom of the ancient Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. They offer tools and support 5 days a week. They will support you in building a solid foundation within yourself to live in pure love. In Aramaic, Rachma. Michael is the author of So Why Is This Happening to Me Again? For more information on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. And now your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael and Jeannie Rice.
To the brightness within you and the truth that is rooted within me.
Hi, and welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice. I'm your co-host, Jeannie Rice, and we also have co-host Tim Hayes. And we welcome you to the show. Today is Thursday, April the 17th, 2014, and our call-in number is 646-200-4169. Press 1, and that puts you in queue to talk to us, and we would love to hear your comments and your questions, because then that makes this your show. I'm going to talk for a few minutes until Michael's ready. We're here in the Nye County Community Coalition Building. We came by to check out the room that we're going to be in tonight. We had an awesome meeting with them yesterday morning. It's a group of people that come together out of the community. They're from, you know, different places, whether it's doctor's offices or career connections or that they work with the youth at the schools or Alcoholics Anonymous, all different facilities and resources within the community. And they come together once a week to let each other know, you know, this is what we have going on, and these are the things that we have to offer people. And most of the facilities are funded by grants, and so their services are free to the people in the community. And that's just phenomenal, because their whole objective is to build their community to be a healthy community. And so we met with them yesterday, and Dr. Andraki, who has brought us here to Perth, introduced us to the group, and he gave the examples of, you know, that in his office, he's the only doctor in Pahrump that works with people to get them off of their opiates and things, and the drugs are really a problem here. And one of the things that he does is that when he treats them to help them detox and get off the drugs is that they also have to do his support group or go to AA or one of the other things that are offered within the community. And he explained that the support group that he and Claudia do, they do every first and third Thursday there at their health center, and that they are based on the work that we do. And then he introduced Michael, and Michael proceeded to explain to everybody how, you know, you can change the effect, but it won't be a lasting change. To get a lasting change, you have to go into cause, and cause is within each person. It's in their mind. And so that's what forgiveness, true forgiveness, Aramaic forgiveness does, is it helps us go in and change our reality, change our stress factors, change our mind so that our behaviors are different. And so that's what we're going to introduce, and I think they were very interested. They at least appeared to be very interested. And so we're doing tonight the essentials of the reality management worksheet, and then tomorrow night we're doing relationships. And then we'll see what unfolds. You know, there's a possibility that we'll be able to work with schools or some of the other organizations that were there yesterday. And so we'll just see how that unfolds this next week. And, Michael, do I hear you with us?
I'm here,
nope,
Jeannie.
I guess. Okay. Well, hello. How are you doing?
Are you referring to me, or was it Michael as well?
No, I'm referring to you, Dr. Tim.
I
don't think Michael answered me, so.
I'm doing beautifully, thank you, and just fortunate to get out of the jury duty early today so I could be on the show. And just still kind of buzzing from the glow of Tuesday night and having Dale Allen Hoffman in the group and the wonderful turnout we had. I heard from some people that they were calling in yesterday trying to make comments, but they couldn't get on. So,
well, maybe they'll call back in today.
Yeah, and if you watch for any numbers from 847 or 630, maybe somebody's got some comments. I'm still pretty much beyond words with my experience of it. And as I was mentioning, it's so different coming from that, radiating that energy of love and being in that room with all those loving people and then walking up the next morning, waking up and having to go into the courtroom. It kind of made it difficult to put into words. But I did want to let you know that the recording of that evening turned out pretty well, and it's available on my website. And if you're interested, we can make the link available or actually make the files available for you if you want to upload them to your website.
Absolutely. I'd love to.
Dale was pretty on and responsive to a very loving group of people. And so I've already listened to it a couple times and heard things I didn't hear the first time around. So, and more than that, I think I just get that, I get echoes of the loving energy that was in the room that night. So I'd like to make that offer if you're interested and let people know that it's available on the audio page on my website as well, and see if we can't get more people exposed to this work.
Absolutely, yes. I'd love to, if you'll send me the links, I will definitely put that on the website. I have a link to Aramaic Fridays on the front page, so I can connect it to that too so that it's easy for people to find.
Wonderful.
Very cool. So we drove back into Las Vegas last night and did the support group with Ray, and we had a good turnout there, and a lot of people were sharing from the Mindshifter Stillpoint Breathing and how they were still in the glow of that as well. So it's awesome. It's just the energy's moving all the way around, and that's perfect. We do look forward to getting something going in Asheville, North Carolina, in June when we're in that area and doing something with Dale and doing a combined Michael and Dale workshop and or mini intensive or something. So we'll see. Dale's working on venues, so we'll see how that comes out.
Maybe even a full-blown 9-day intensive. Who knows? We'll see how it comes together.
Yeah, absolutely. So, Michael, you've got a little bit of an echo. I don't know if you're in the wind.
No, actually, I'm in the car.
Oh, it sounds like the wind's blowing.
Say it again.
Okay. I said it sounds like the wind's blowing. Okay.
No wind.
And in the meantime, we do have a caller, so let's see what they have to say. It's area code 970. You're on the air.
Hello, everybody. This is Brad in Pagosa Springs, Colorado.
Hey, Brad. How are you doing?
Doing fine, thank you. Called in to kind of give an update. Michael asked me to do that with the vets group that I'm now, that I've been working with. I told him last week that I was appointed to the board, and that kind of gave me a go-ahead to introduce, the forgiveness work to these guys, particularly the combat vets, who many are still having serious issues. And since then, earlier this week, we met again, and I was also attended my first combat vets counseling meeting, and which I played both observer, and I put out a few things there too. Response from these guys, kind of took me back a little bit, but it also did not surprise me as well that so many of them are in such denial and pain, confusion, guilt, shame. And it was kind of a, as an observer of trying to, intentionally trying to recognize that so I can get a feel for these guys better, it was pretty shocking how many of them were just locked down and, you know, in their stuff and wouldn't talk. So it was a good move. You know, at the earlier meeting for the all the vets in the area, we call it the Veterans for Veterans meeting. There were 60 present the other day. We have about 120 members, so about half were there. I put out the invitation for anybody that was interested in learning more about what I was there to offer to come see me after the meeting. I had 4 takers out of 60, which I felt was a pretty good start. And I'm now in the progress of trying to get the first meeting set up, and was just maybe wanting to talk with Michael about how the first presentation under these circumstances with, you know, these guys hurting so bad. I felt it. You know, it resonated that in me strongly. After the combat vets meeting was over and I left and I went out and sat in my car for a few minutes and just cried about their pain.
Well, I think,
yeah.
So,
Brad, I think if you remember the length of time it took you to start to hear it, as with all of us, and you know, and I'm speaking of myself here too, because I'm still hearing it in new ways every day, and just be patient, and your efforts will bear fruit. The biggest fruit that it will bear is it will bring you into a whole new level of thinking, and that's the most awesome gift you could give to these vets and to yourself, because energetically you will be opening a space that will impact everybody who's ever been in that particular situation. There's a gentleman that I was speaking to yesterday, a vet, and actually 2 days ago, we had about a half an hour conversation about the work and the ideas, and last night he came back to me to say, well, you know, after our conversation, I was thinking about it, and I really, you know, I got clear on where my biggest problem is. And this may sound a little silly, but then he proceeded to tell me how, you know, I do all sorts of things. He's very mechanical and fixes things and such. He says, and I put down a tool or I put down my keys or something, and I just can't remember where they are. And that's my biggest problem. I said, well, you know, when you put down your keys or your tools, what happens? And he went into this very animated state where his arms started flailing, and he's just, and I'm the stupidest SOB that ever existed, and I'll never be any effing good, and you know, what's wrong with me? I can't even keep track of my things. What a stupid ass I am. I mean, he just went on and on about his self-hatred and his rage at himself, which is exactly what his power person used to do with him. But that wasn't his problem. And we actually had quite a bit of conversation to get him to start to suspect that maybe his problem was his self-hatred and his rage in himself, because his mind is focused, as all of us have been trained to do, his mind is focused on the outer world. Well, the problem is that, you know, my wife doesn't understand me, my children don't, you know, appreciate me, my and that's the focus that we've been trained into in our whole culture. I actually, you know, been kind of meditating on this and working with this, because I find myself doing it too after 45 years, wanting to externalize and think about the external world as opposed to, and to want to problem solve what's going on out there. And to him, it's like, well, just show me how to remember where I put my things. It's like, but that's not the problem. The problem is your self-hatred. Oh, well, no, it's just that I forget where I put things and I can't find them. I waste all kinds of time. And you know, to get to crack through that denial as you say, is such a huge, huge piece of the puzzle. And to recognize that while everybody wants to problem solve the situation, you know, even when it comes to diseases, people are just, well, give me a pill and let me handle my symptoms. Don't make me do my healing work. Don't make me look at where the real problem is. And while treatment can be useful and helpful, what people need to do is to come to the point of recognizing where the real problem is and understanding how to clean it up. So it is a process. Your learning will be monumental. The breakthroughs that you'll make in your mind and your life will just be amazing. And, you know, if we ask Dr. Tim about his early years with support groups, in fact, let's do that. Dr. Tim, how many people, when you first started doing a support group, would show up on a regular basis or an irregular basis? What did that look like for you?
Well, I was thrilled to have four people. Thrilled. There were a number of times I would show up and no one else would be there, and I would just watch the video and do a worksheet or two and then go home. And for probably the first 3 years, we were lucky to have four or five people 2 or 3 weeks in a row.
And if you keep putting one foot in front of the other, and I'll say that for myself. I can remember back in the early days when I first started teaching this, there was actually one program that I did that was a 23-hour weekend. I would begin a lecture at 7 o'clock in the evening and go until 10:30 at night. I would start at 9 o'clock in the morning and go until 10:30 at night on Saturday, 9 o'clock in the morning until 6 o'clock on Sunday. And there were times where I did that weekend for two people. So you'll get to look at all kinds of stuff. Be patient with yourself. You'll probably end up doing worksheets on patients and watch how it will grow. And we'll put it, as you get it moving, we'll put in our schedule to try to work our way out to Colorado to present and support and get things moving on another level.
Well, that'd be awesome, because it's, you know, like so many places, it's greatly needed here. But I see this as a, you know, as just a wonderful opportunity, you know, to bring this to these men, and you know, as I progress in doing the work too, and how it helps heal me, it opens up a lot of those things, you know, that you know, are still buried in the cellar, and. So I'll experience healing from it too, no doubt. I mean, I've already felt symptoms of that, you know, things that brought up more worksheet topics that I've done. And, you know, just in a week, you know, from being accepted into that group and now having a position in that group to bring this work forward. And so I felt, you know, more to start out with. I was amazed that I was going to have that many takers. After the first meeting, I don't know what I'm going to have, but I'm not going to worry about that. You know, the thing is that I'm committed to doing this, and if I'm patient and I keep my focus and I don't let these guys trigger, you know, my stuff. And if it does, I have to kind of, you know, keep it under wraps then to a degree, because they're not going to understand the process of, you know, if I try to present, well, you brought this up to me and now I'm feeling angry or I'm feeling hurt, and I need your help. I don't think they understand that concept yet.
As you get vulnerable and you create the space for them to build the brain cells, you know, I don't know, have you heard me use the example of the dog with the ounce of gold and the hamburger?
Yeah.
So, you know, the dog is never going to, I mean, any dog in the world that had the brain cells to recognize the value of the ounce of gold is going to pick up the ounce of gold and ignore the pound of hamburger. But we know that there's not a dog in the world that has the brain cells to recognize that. So every dog in the world is going to pick up the hamburger and eat it and walk away. And if we could build the brain cells into the dog to understand the value of the ounce of gold, and what you're doing is you're demonstrating to those guys and to, you know, we're all demonstrating, is the value of looking inside and doing your own work. And so it is a process, and you will get to process everything in you. I say that from direct experience, and just keep moving it forward and keep your commitment to it, and it will be awesome.
Well, yeah, I remember when I I first started listening to your, you know, DVDs and CDs and so forth, and about this idea of forgiveness work, you know, from the ancient Aramaic, and, you know, because I was taught, you know, just pardon, let them off the hook, you know, and then go deal with your stuff, you know, the best you can, and never taught the proper way. You know, that's what so many of these have been trained to do, too. You know, some of them have done some work and along the lines of forgiveness, but not in the correct way. You know, so they do it, you know, more from, you know, the accepted ways in the churches and so forth through the Greek philosophy of what forgiveness is. So I, you know, I'm prepared for that. You know, I'm not there to get confrontational with anybody or attack their beliefs and or what choosing to do, you know, with their with the thoughts in their mind. I'm only there to offer them something, a different way of looking at it. Just keep an open mind is all I asked them to do, and listen to the presentations and see if it might be something that, that you think that you could learn something from. Because I know what they're doing is not working for them. What they're doing is
right
not working
for them. I hear you loud and clear. It, I mean, when I let somebody off the hook because there's something happening in my mind, in fact, in order to let them off the hook, I have to focus on what's in my mind, which just strengthens it and means I'm going to get to play it out somewhere else. So as you patiently move it forward, and it might be worth, and just, you know, one of the things that that you'll learn to do as you do this work is you'll learn to really listen to language. And as people accidentally tell what's going on in their unconscious through their language, you'll be able to feed back to them. And at first it will bring stress up for people. But let's say in the statement that you just made when you said, I'm not there to be in competition or to put down what anybody else is doing. And so it might be worth doing a worksheet or two around competition, because just the use of those words says there's some part of your mind that thinks that there's some sort of competition going on, and that might be just some old brain cells that come from childhood or what have you. And that, you know, if you come from a world where put down is the norm, then maybe there's some brain cells that still contain some put down energy, and we should do a worksheet around that. You'll clear that one out, and the more you pay attention to your own language, the more you'll see the subtleties of what energetic patterns are running you. And as you build those brain cells, you'll just, I mean, there'll be people who'll be amazed. How did you know that's what is going on in my life? It's like, well, I just listened to your words. And, you know, I mean, people will think you're a psychic or something when all you're doing is carefully listening and gently feeding back the words that reflect what's in the unconscious. You know, people don't speak out of brain cells that aren't firing. And so when you listen carefully, you get to hear. You know, you'll hear somebody say, well, you know, I don't hate my wife. You know, I don't have any rage toward her. Well, guess what that person's got to deal with? The hatred of their wives and their rage toward them. Their language will always, you know, Shakespeare said, my words fly up, my thoughts remain below. And so just listening to those words, and when not is in front of it, there's denial, but that's what's firing in brain cells, and it's so amazing when you start to do it on a level of working with others. So I'm just thrilled and delighted and excited, and, you know, if it works every day to call in and ask, and we'll be here to totally support you in taking things to the next level in your own process and sharing it with that community. You know, it would be awesome to have two or three vets who are, or 10 or 50 or 100 vets who are traveling the country and bringing this work to heal the insanity that has been perpetrated upon our vets.
Well, that's my purpose, is to bring this to them. And you know, and knowing that can also, you know, help heal my other issues. I know that will bring a lot of things up for me, and, you know, in my trying to bring this to them too. And it already has, you know. And then just another quick thing, and then I'll let others get on. I had at the combat vet meet, we had a counselor there, and I mentioned that, you know, what my support network is, and that even for my wife, Cindy, and that we got into doing this work together and how we progressed in it, and now I've taken it to this new level, and I have her total and complete support and her understanding, her compassion for what I do when things come up and, you know, I get uneasy. And one of the questions was brought to one of the men. He says, how does your wife support you? And he says, by keeping her mouth shut.
Yeah.
I just kind of, oh, gosh. And but that's, you know, that wasn't unexpected. So, you know, I observed this man. I don't think I was being a judgment. I was just observing his words, his actions, his body language. And he squirmed the whole time he was in that meeting for 2 hours.
Yeah. And when the space opens for him to deal with that, the rage that's going to come up, the guilt that's going to come up is going to be monumental. And by your doing your work, you prepare yourself. This isn't an intellectual process. You know, you can't send people to school to learn to do process work. Teach them to move into process themselves, and that's what really empowers one to do this work. So the whole professional game of, well, I live in my head and I fix other people, doesn't work with this work. You have to do your own work to move into that direction. So I'm just so delighted that you guys are on the team and doing it.
Well, it's a delight to be there, and I appreciate everybody's support in this, and it's wonderful, and I feel very blessed to be doing this, and I know it's the right thing to be doing, and I know it's not going to be easy, but I know I have a good support team, so thank you all.
Before you leave, go ahead, Michelle.
Well, you know, you've heard on the show in the past, Mike and Margaret, and Mike is a former combat vet, actually not just combat, but special ops. And I mean, some of the stories he's had to share are just so bizarre. And, you know, maybe we can get him out there too, because he's spent quite a bit of time teaching this work since he first became involved. And, so maybe there's a point where we can get him out to support you too. And, you know, spend some time. We'll talk to him about that.
Well, that'd be great. Anybody that is a vet that's you know, brought this work into their life and has progressed with it, and you know what they've learned from it, can be a great help, you know, to myself and all the others as well, I'm sure.
Brad?
Yes.
Hi there. This is Michelle.
Hi, Michelle.
Hey, you might not know this about me, but I'm a vet. And for 20 years I was in the reserves and was activated during Desert Storm for a while. And because of my clinical background and veteran status, I became involved 3 years ago with East Lansing Veterans Court, which is a new program in the country. There's a growing population of courts that service veterans only. And so when these vets come back from worse situations and they've got undiagnosed PTSD or other traumas, anxiety, depressions, and such, generally without any kind of tools, they're anesthetizing with drugs and alcohol, which invariably lead to crimes related to drugs and alcohol. And so part of the program is when you have the charge and you're going through probation, if you successfully complete 18 months of the Veterans Court, they will maybe reduce your sentence from a like super drunk to a drunk driving, or a drunk driving to a reckless, or things like that, to incentivize, because they recognize that this is a rehabilitative opportunity, not a punitive opportunity, in the sense that these crimes are committed because of the conditions of being in the military. And so the support group that I run every Wednesday night is for these men and women who are moving through this 18-month program of probation court. And so the reason I wanted to share that with you is because although I'm new to this work myself, I haven't really considered changing the format of the support group to incorporate it. But honestly, after listening to you today and hearing your enthusiasm and knowing how much you've shifted personally from last September, October when I first heard you speak, and you and Cindy and everything that you've been through and how you've applied the tools and the shifts and your voice and all the miracles that you're experiencing, and then now taking to this new level where you're, you know, directly working in the field, no pun intended, with these guys, that I'm like, why am I playing small with my veteran group? I need to amp it up. And it's so funny because last night, we meet on Wednesday night, we had four new guys, and all these guys had disabilities and diagnoses, PTSD, dissociative identity disorder, depression, you know, from being downrange, from being in combat, so, you know, sharing their war stories. One guy's in the history book because he was there as part of the team that captured Saddam Hussein. And that's cool, but I don't know. They're really not coming back whole and complete. And so there is, it's kind of like the prison work. There couldn't be a better opportunity for healing in terms of the pain and suffering that these men and women are experiencing after they come back. So thank you for being a love leader.
Well, you're welcome.
Thank you for bringing them forward.
What?
Thank you, Michelle, for sharing that. I didn't know there was a veterans court, and I think that's awesome. And, you know, I would love to get involved and support that. That's very similar to what we developed in the jail system in Albany, Georgia, with the pretrial release program. And actually, we got it to the point where if people went through, you know, they did the personal code evaluation, and we would hand that to the judge. And if the judge saw the kinds of changes that we would point out, that if this person sincerely does their work, here's the changes they'll get, he would totally adjudicate and set aside any sentencing, any record, and hold it for a time period. We actually had it set up where the accused would sign a contract with the court that would allow the judge access to their lives for 3 years. And if they stayed clean for that 3-year period, then everything was set aside. It was gone. And I think that considering the fact that, you know, we talk about the downwind and the combat stuff, but the truth is the PTSD is installed purposely in the training. It's an accepted modality in the military to teach hatred, to teach vengeance, to teach racism. And we need to stop it at its source as well. And maybe if we can start getting these guys and their trainers to understand what we're doing to ourselves and to our world, we can get this stuff changing at its root and really change the game. So accolades to you. And again, any support we can be in that process, we're delighted to be there. And, of course, the same with you, Brad. That's awesome. And I definitely support you playing bigger in that league.
Well, thank you very much. I just want to mention one more thing that, and this is for Michelle, too. We do now have an advocate that's got years of experience working within the court system at the VA. At one time, she had 723 other attorneys under her watch, and she is licensed to open a claim in any state in the country. And we now have her on the team here, which was is an astronomical and awesome thing to have. And we also have an advocate for, you know, veterans health issues now that's a practicing attorney here and has had many years of experience helping vets with their claims there. So this group here is being highly blessed right now, and we're very fortunate to have this, and I think it will also open a lot of avenues for a lot of these guys that they have not been getting, and maybe will help relieve a lot of the, you know, the pain and the pressure that they've even put on themselves as a result of having to deal with the system, because it's horrible. It's a horrible system. It doesn't work very well.
Well, Brad, I would invite you to consider bringing both of those attorneys into your classroom so that they can build the brain cells to understand how to take their help to a whole other level. And, you know, again, any way we can support that.
Yeah, I have thought of that. You're right. That's kind of on my to-do list when I get this going a little better and see, you know, see how it's going to go. I mean, I don't know yet. You know, I'm gonna open the program, you know, with a "Why is this happening to me?" video, and then just get the impressions of the men, the show, and then I wanted to play the one radio show from last week for them, because I thought it was totally awesome, what you had to say that day, and I think it will resonate with a lot of these vets very well.
March 31st?
No, it was last Tuesday. It was a week ago Tuesday, because I was at the meeting, and I came home, and Cindy informed me that was just such an awesome show, and I had to hear it. So we played it back later in the day, and I was just so taken back by it. It was just,
What was the core topic on that show?
Oh, gosh. you know, I'm kind of a lack
I'll
of memory right now.
But we'll go back and check it out, and if you'd maybe just drop us a note, we'll make sure that goes on the opening list so that that people have access to it. And, you know, when I sit here and listen to both you and Michelle talk, I just want to break into tears.
Well, like you say, it's an awesome privilege to be being able to carry this work forward, and I want to be responsible in my way of doing it, and just be patient, and let it unfold, you know. And I'll just hold a space of love for all these guys, and just slowly go about the process of bringing this forward, and I'm always going to encourage their input. I want to know where they're at with it, you know, every step of the way.
Well, Brad, when I think back to your first calls and the words you used and the state you were in, and I listened to what you just said just over the last 2 minutes, I am just so filled with admiration and appreciation for what you're doing.
Well.
And hope.
That's testimony. That's testimony, Michaels, of what this work does for people.
Pretty awesome. Thank you.
So thank you for bringing this forward to all of us. I mean, if it wasn't for you doing this, you know, originally and bringing this out into the forefront for all of us to have the opportunity to look at it and see that it is truth, and, you know, and there is a different way of going about doing the things in our life that trouble us and what we were in denial of, and where we're locked down, even to our five person dynamics, which is so huge a role in all of this as well. So, I mean, a lot of guys don't understand that, you know, that these drill instructors and their commanding officers and their other chain of command officers and stuff, we're all power persons as well, and all factor into this.
It is the purpose of every cult to displace the original power person with the cult leader as the new power person. That's the purpose of every cult, whether it's a religious cult or a business cult or a military cult. That's the purpose of it. And when we start cleaning that up, then we can start changing what runs the world. And, you know, just what Michelle has just said and what you're saying makes every minute of 45 years of putting one foot in front of the other to bring this to the planet, every minute worthwhile just for this conversation.
Well, as the show was opened up about, you know, what is the cause, as Jeannie opened up, what is the cause to a lot of things that, you know, the cause is the result of what we end up behaving out of, and looking at these causes, you know, with anybody, you know, that's suffering. I'm not just saying vets, but particularly anybody and suffering from PTSD, and there's so many things that in the world now that people can suffer that from. You know, the cause effect is a huge issue to have to, you know, to delve into and try to get an understanding that these are the causes, and you're denying that, and you're not seeing it correctly. So until you can build those brain cells to actually see that these are the causes, then you're fighting a futile battle. You'll never get anywhere in your life. You'll just say, why is this happening to me again, over and over?
Precisely. And, you know, this is such an old conversation. You know, you go back and you look at that story of the Jews wandering in the desert for 40 years. You know, this is a pretty bright group of people. I don't believe for one second that they were lost in a 30-square-mile area for 40 years. That's not what it was about. They were trying to convey a deeper meaning. And the solution that they offered, you go back and read that story from thousands of years ago, and they knew exactly what needed to be done. What did they say? They said the old generation has to die off. And the root of the word generation is genari. It means cause. It doesn't mean everybody in old physical bodies has to physically die. We each need to look at these causes from our own desert, our own unconscious, and start to clean them out. And because the world has so focused us and we've bought into it on it's out there. You know, that gentleman I was just speaking about a few minutes ago. You know, I lose things, and, you know, the problem is I'm losing things, as opposed to, well, what do you do when you lose things? Oh, I'm such a stupid, and I'm such an, and I'll never be any good. There's the cause. But we've been trained by our world to look at the effect rather than deal with the cause and try to solve the external problem rather than dealing with what's at the root of it. So it's just awesome that you hear it. And, you know, when I consider what you shared with us in those early calls, which is, what, about a year ago now? And the distance that you've come, you have come is heartrending, heartwarming. Glad to be on your team.
Well, thank you. It's great to be on everybody's team that's doing this work on that team. Because it does work. Like I say, I'm another testimony to it. It does work if you apply it and you do the work. And you know, I guess some ways that, you know, I'm not going to tell my story because I know you don't need to hear my story. But you know, I look at all the things that I've had to deal with you know, through my genetics and my being, you know, like a split race between being Native American and German, and the genetics out of that, and then plus, you know, my military experience and combat experience. And I said, like, I got dealt a handful, but I've never given up.
Well, thank you for being committed and integritous enough to take on the work to rise above it. You know, whatever people refuse to come into contact with within themselves directly is what runs their lives, and you're such a shining example of moving beyond that, and that's what it's going to take to recreate our world and create a space where it's safe for our children to grow up, and that's the whole purpose of it.
Well, I'm just seizing the opportunities given.
Awesome. Well, congratulations, and we look forward to supporting you as often as you need to call. We're just delighted to have you on the show and share it with you. And, Michelle, thank you for your words and your input and any support we can be in that regard. We are delighted to be on the team.
Well, I'm just I'm thrilled to hear you say that maybe you can make it this way and perhaps even get the other gentleman that's a vet to possibly come with you. That's thrilling to hear you say that to me. And it's just a great pleasure to be on the team and doing this and being able to take this to the next level and see what comes about, because I won't give up.
Well, I'll support you in being eternally committed and forgiving the idea of giving up. You know, my words fly up, so there maybe is a part of your mind that in the past has given up. So, okay, I'm going to clear that one out, and I'm committed to it. And, you know, one of the other arenas that let's just put into the conversation at this point to take it, because the genetic and environmental abuse that the Native Americans have suffered for hundreds of years in this country is another atrocity that, you know, matches the level of the atrocities done to our vets in the way that they've been treated and the way that they've been trained. And so I'll just put into the conversation, let's consider where the space will open for it to be taken into that community as well.
All right. Thank you very much, Michael. Those are wonderful words.
Thank you for your call.
You're welcome. Bless you all. Bye.
Michelle, do you have anything else to share?
No, Michael, not right now. Thank you for asking. I appreciate the support. And Rex is on the phone, I think, to continue that prison conversation.
Well, let's say hello to Rex. How do you be, young man?
He's on mute.
Are you muted, Rex?
Rex, you're on the air.
Not anymore. I'm just chatting away. Can you hear me now?
I've done that.
Well, we all
I've done that, but I've done what I've introduced the show. I've done that and done it for 20 minutes before I found out it wasn't on the air.
Oh, it's fun. It's great to laugh and have some lightheartedness about our apparent faux pas, you know, and the apparent mistakes that we make and so on and so forth. Just acknowledging Brad, not just, but acknowledging you, Brad, for all the wonderful work you're doing and the excitement. It resonated in me when I started 22 years ago, I think, when I showed my first video. And at that time, it was on actually a VCR. Is when we started, Michael, and I invited some people to a group, and I think John Addis and I started showing it in a group, and then I didn't know what I was doing. I was so young in the process, and so it just resonated that in remembering that, and Michael, you gave great advice to Brad. Just, you know, be present with your process. You know, be conscious of your own triggers and do your due diligence with the work and apply the principles, and you'll move through it very quickly. And you'll have lots of opportunities to see wherever you have blockages. And that's a very, very big part of, you know, outreach in doing the work in such a way that you're sharing it with others. And the group that you're tapping into in the level of pain and anger and suppression that's there is a lot. And when you feel that emotion in the group, you just intuit what is appropriate. But I have found that in a way of allowing it to be an example and doing the forgiveness process, once you've shown them, obviously, I mean, if you get up and say, hi, everybody, and you start crying, they might have a little difficulty with that piece. But once you've shown them the tools and you start working with them, that you actually may open up to where you do the forgiveness process as an example to them. And I found it to be incredibly profound as a tool for healing and also teaching. So it's just, before you did say that, and I also heard patience, and I heard you say it, Brad, it's just infinitely important. Is that have patience, and just remember, you've come an amazing length of distance from your point of a year ago to now. And just be patient. These guys will accelerate fast, and they may act like they don't like the material, but it isn't that they don't like the material. It's they don't like what's surfacing in them. And you just keep presencing love and do the work you're doing. It's amazing. It fits in so intimately with the prison work that we're doing. And when Michelle opened up and sharing about her group that she meets on Wednesday, and Michael, I know I feel your joy, and a couple times as I sensed and felt you were, you know, welling up in your heart and your tears, and, you know, and I felt it as well and still do.
Huge.
And that,
it's huge.
Huge. I'm definitely, and I acknowledge you for, you know, being willing to be here while we open this up, you know, and you being actively involved. And so many teachers present their material and set their goals to present it to the world, and then leave, and then it takes, like Yeshua, for example. It's a little different, but it's an example that, you know, it took 2,000 years. Well, you're only talking 45. I mean, that's cool.
Yeah,
know?
Right.
I mean,
no one will ever know. No one will ever know.
And this is where it says, this is why I say, easy for me to say, right?
Nice.
But, you know, and so, Brad, just great job, and everyone doing great job. And we were talking about the prison system and what we were doing and what happened. I was teaching a Laws of Living class yesterday, and my Wednesday night class, and I got a call from one of my students in the class who happens to be a professor in college, and said during the class, you know, I just don't understand what you're saying. And I looked at her, and the sense I got was she wasn't complaining. She was actually acknowledging that it was a good thing. And I looked at her, and I says, and so intuitively I just looked at her and smiled and said, is that okay? And she goes, absolutely. And what I got was she was understanding at such a depth that it went beyond her brain's ability to process everything that she was comprehending. And she wasn't alone. There's others that have had, you know, and including myself, that was going on while we were sharing in class. And I bring that up because you never know what your words, I never know for sure what my words, what my moment-to-moment action might set in motion or resonate in another. And by you, Brad, being in Colorado, and I'll tell you how my brain works, cool, another place I can go to share principles, you know. I haven't been to Colorado in 20 years. I might like to go back there, you know. And so it's cool how that works, because now I got Florida, I can go to Colorado, I can go to California. And the more we develop communities, the more we can reach out to each other. I mean, North Carolina, I mean, there's all sorts of places. And it's exciting because we're really about bringing it to everyone. And these guys in the prison opening up that piece. We were talking about it towards the end of the program yesterday. We were discussing how he's a member of the National Lifers Association or program, and he's the president and then the vice president, and wanting to bring the Laws of Living into that. I mean, I see that being huge with, you know, the Laws of Living being able to be introduced eventually into the system with the vets. And, you know, and Michelle, when you mentioned that piece about your class and how, I mean, there are so many things opening up really fast, along with there's a whole bunch of stuff opening up that isn't all that pleasant on the planet. And I think it's our responsibility to stay focused on love and heal whatever comes up as a result of it. So I'm excited as well, and have gone in and out of those moments of so much gratitude and appreciation welling up that, you know, a little lump in my throat, and then I breathe and let it go. And then some tears come up, and I smile and say, that's cool. And just as a sidebar, I know it sounds pretty weird or silly, but we've had a dove, and doves mate for life, according to what we've been taught. And we have doves around our house, and they hang out. And we had a dove that usually just hangs out by itself, not knowing if it's male or female. Well, for the first time, it came right up on our deck, and it was literally 5 feet from me. I was in the house looking out, and there the dove was sitting there. And to me, a dove is representative of love, you know, and an example of that. And they're so gentle and so beautiful, you know, and all sorts of things. And that's my content, but that's kind of what I project on them. And then I looked over, and it had a partner over there that were both, they were cleaning the, themselves, you know, sitting next to each other, and then they just walked around together. And I thought, I brought Mitzi out. I said, Mitzi, you can't come see this. There's a, our dove only has, it has a partner now, you know. And normally if the partner dies, they go partnerless for the rest of their life. So it was just a little thing that brought a smile. It triggered and resonated love in my heart. And I'm sharing it with you because it's really content that drives, you know, the goals that drive the content to be brought to the mind. And I was just feeling very loving, and then boom, doves show up, and then they show up as a couple, and it's just, that's really the beauty of the miraculous moment we're in, and this work in the prisons is happening very quickly. Brad, you're doing such amazing work with what you're doing, Michelle and Michael and Tim, and we've got our company opening up, and we're back on track, moving into a direction of presenting it more to the public, and just happens to be called Ruka Group, which is pretty cool, the Ruka Group. And I'm just excited about everything, and I'll kind of leave it at that.
Rex?
Hi.
Yes, Michelle?
Rex, yeah, I really agreed with what you said in terms of you never know how a smile, a kind word, or an affirmation like that would reverberate and snowball and grow, because yesterday you mentioned about the twinkle in the guy's eye, and I did see that. And I don't know if you noticed, but after our class was over, he communicated a deep thanks and appreciation, and he said, you know, you're a breath of fresh air, and just was so, like, glowing and thanking me profusely, and it felt, I was a little bit uncomfortable because, like, oh, did I cross the line? But he was just, like you said, his heart was so open and he was so softened. And Michael yesterday remembered, this is the guy that I told you actually wrote you a letter over Christmas. And you hadn't received it, I think, at the time. But I'm going to next week let him know about some of his conversation and invite him to write to you again, because I think that would be a great opportunity for him. I planted my own seed. When he gets out in November, I said to him, Mr. X, I have every belief that you'll be listening to the radio show with us at Christmas time. And he just smiled.
Cool.
Mm.
Awesome. Well, you know, the number of arenas that are opening up, we've been talking to Denmark about whether the Royal Danish Academy of Sciences might sponsor a conference on first century Aramaic forgiveness and physics. You know, the number of agendas that are opening and the way this is moving to a global project is just so rewarding, and so many people jumping on board. And once again, I put out the thought that if you are stuck in a little life, get ready to play bigger. You know, jump in. And it might mean giving up something. You know, when I first started doing this work, I had 60 employees. I had a Mark III on one side of my driveway. I had an Eldorado on the other. I had a penthouse apartment in one city, homes in two other cities, businesses in two countries. And one morning I got up and walked away from it all. And in order to hear the call to do your real purpose, there might come a point where you walk away from something. And if you do, then as you tap into your true purpose. You know, I look at what I personally have today, what I had back then, and I have nothing. And I look at what I have today compared to what I had back then, and I have everything. And so we invite you to consider whether or not you want everything. And everything comes from functioning out of your true purpose, not out of the stuff you get. So we appreciate each of you that is participating and doing your work, because that's what opens the space and helps to build the critical mass. And we invite you to give the best gift you can possibly give to the world, the best year yet of your eternal life. Join us in Pahrump, Nevada. You can check on the website for the details.
Thank you for listening to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife, Jeannie, who present the internal Aramaic process of forgiveness. Michael and Jeannie are here every Monday through Friday on Earth Angels Radio. For more on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. That's www.whyagain.com.
Continuously, 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 continuously.